If asked, many people with knowledge of the federal government would agree problems are surrounding the senior executive service. But if you ask, what's the problem, you'll get some very different answers. For example, of the 890 career senior executives who left government in fiscal 2014, just two were fired for discipline or performance. Is that because the laws make it hard to fire executives even when they do something scandalous? Or is it because leaders don't want to use the authorities they have at their disposal? Today in our special report, Fixing the SES, Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp dissects this problem with help from Eddie Rebus. He's an SES member and human resources expert who has worked at many agencies, including the Office of Personnel Management. Now he's with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission.
Having worked in agencies where we've had to investigate, discipline, counsel, even members of the senior executive service, I would say I think we have all of the tools necessary today to appropriately handle those kinds of situations. If somebody's doing something inappropriate, we have the steps that we can take, disciplinary action, anything from a counseling to removal, depending on the infraction. So I always find it interesting when there's legislation that's adopted or there's legislation that's discussed, when I feel that we have a lot of the tools that we have. It almost reminds me back to hiring reform when there were a number of senators and congressmen that talked about, you know, these laws that were going to, you know, completely radicalize the hiring process in the federal government. And if you look at a lot of the laws, we've done a lot of the red tape to ourselves. So I'm a firm believer that we have a lot of the ability or a lot of the rules and the regulations to take the necessary actions to deal with those issues already.
Are people using them? Are you using them?
I have used them. I've used them through the normal performance-based process. I've used them through the normal conduct-based process here and at other agencies. Sort of can't get into those right now, but I think it's more. I think you've hit the nail on the head that it's less of an issue of having the ability to do that than utilizing those rules and those regulations to take the appropriate action. And I think oftentimes that's what we run into. It's a hesitancy to take the action, as opposed to I don't have the authority or the ability to take the action.
Just flat out, do you think that there's a problem with the SES?
I don't think, you know, we're not sick, you know, we don't have the flu or anything, but we do, I believe we do need a checkup. I mean, I think there's some tinkering that has to be done to the senior executive service going forward to meet the demands of the future. From a human resources perspective, I think we need to look at compensation, the way we hire for these individuals, and looking at how we can reform both through pay compression and try to deal with that on the issue of the ease of hiring, and looking at how we can even streamline even more the resume-based process, and even look at how do you certify agencies that through the test of time are appointing good members to the senior executive service. How can you for positions, how can you certify them to a point if they meet certain criteria? On the other hand, I think we need to, you know, avail ourselves of the SES mentoring program that the president spoke to, his address back in December, and really help each other out. I think we also need to focus on, you know, what is the executive corps based on? It's these five executive corps qualifications, and how do we develop, how do we retain that talent to help meet what the future problems and the current problems of the federal government are.
So we've already actually addressed two of the things that I hear reoccurring. And well, one was direct. We talked about accountability, mm-hmm. And we also talked about the pay.
Right.
The other two things that I hear mentioned a lot as problems are a lack of mobility, mm-hmm. and a lack of diversity. You are one of several people I've talked to who actually have moved around in your SES career. Is this a faux problem?
When I moved from my first SES job and then I moved from my second SES job, I think there were some people that I worked with that I didn't know you could do that as an SES. And I said, well, yes, you can do that. I'm living proof that you can do that. You know, I did it for a number of reasons, for opportunities, for expansion, for scope, greater scope in terms of mission and things like that. But there is that opportunity that I don't think people avail themselves of.
You know, and that's not required.
It's not required, but it is something that when the SES first came to be, there was this whole SES mobility program. I think the IRS was using it quite a bit back in the time when they had folks that were, you know, members of the SES that were taken to the field. Some of that was could have been voluntary. Some of that was involuntary. I think there have been a lot of agencies that have not availed themselves of the part where they're encouraging the involuntary piece, which is it's hard. It's hard to say to somebody, hey, I'm moving you from this job to that job, or I'm moving you from Washington D.C. to St. Louis, Missouri. That's a hard conversation to have. But as a leader, one of the responsibilities you have is putting your people in the best spot possible to be successful. And not just themselves be successful, but the agency be successful. Recently here we had our general counsel voluntarily move to lead our electric reliability organization, something that had not really happened in this commission in years since we had members of the SES serving here. He's been tremendously successful and, you know, went from, you know, he's an attorney and went from, general counsel, where he's one of many attorneys, to a group that is primarily consists of engineers and has been able to successfully lead that organization. And again, he's been able to lead that organization based on his abilities to lead people, lead change, his business acumen, his results being results driven, and his building coalitions, not because he's a member of the bar. And I think that's something that we need to look at, is how do we put our best leaders in the spots that we need them.
The other thing is diversity or mm-hmm. a lack of it. Is that a real problem?
Yes, and I think it's a real problem in the senior executive. It's a real problem in a lot of our leadership ranks. And I think, you know, having a workforce that's reflective of our nation is important. And I think while we have gotten better, and I think through targeted recruitment, through outreach, I still think there's a lot of efforts that need to go on here. I mean, I'm one of two Hispanic executives here at the commission. And so, you know, how I try to talk up the opportunities to be a member of the senior executive service is something that I take very seriously. We have two groups that have been up and running here now for several months. One is a group of veterans, FERC vets, and our Hispanic employee resource group. They call themselves LFERC. And you don't have to be a vet to be a member of FERC Vets. You don't have to be Hispanic to be a member of it. But it's an outreach opportunity. And it's something, as the Chief Human Capital Officer for the Commission, I'm looking at not only helping them grow, but I'm also looking at how do we involve them in our strategy. How do we have them both work in our recruitment efforts? And just helping us think through activities that we need to do. You know, having them involved in helping us analyze our federal employee viewpoint survey results, getting input from them, having them involved, getting their energy, because they have a lot of energy that, as they've come together as a group.
So let me ask you this. It seems like right now is a time of contemplating change, right, when it comes to the SES. If I have to ask you for both your advice to those who are listening, but also your prediction of the way forward, do you see the SES changing? And if so, how would you like it to change, and how do you think it will change?
Yeah, I mean, I do think one of the changes that needs to happen, I mean, I'm a firm believer, and I might be the minority here, and maybe it was the way that I was hired into the SES that has kind of colored my thinking on this. But, you know, I was hired off an announcement. I realized I was hired at a federal human resources agency, and I have been a long-standing human resources professional, but I was hired off of one announcement that was looking to hire 14 executives at one time, and included in that was everything from the position that I was eventually selected for, to consultant positions, to the head of security, to the head of the Federal Executive Institute. And I remember what the OPM director at the time, K. Cole James, said to me was, you know, I'm not looking for the best professionally technical-oriented person. I'm looking for somebody that can lead people, can lead change, that's results-driven, that has a good business acumen, and that can build coalitions and is a good communicator. And I think we need to – that agencies need to focus on that. And I think when you look at some of the problems that we are faced with and the issues in all of our agencies, you need a leader that can do those things. They can bring together a group of federal employees to deal with the nation's greatest problems. And our nation's had a number of issues happen since the executive corps has come to light in 1978. But I do believe that that's one of the biggest changes, is we need to look at hiring leaders for their executive leadership skills, as opposed to, well, I got to hire the best attorney, I got to hire the best engineer, I got to hire the best human resources person for this position.